Chapter 2, Shattering the Paradigm, the Experiments that Change Everything. The first rays of the morning sun cast their long shadows from behind the Sangre de Cristo mountains towering behind us to the east. I'd agreed to meet my friend Joseph there in the valley to simply walk, talk, and enjoy the morning. As we stood in the rim of the vast expanse of land that connects northern New Mexico with southern Colorado, we could see for miles across the fields that separate us from the great gash in the earth, the Rio Grande Gorge, forming the banks of the Rio Grande River. The high desert sage was especially fragrant that morning. As we began our walk, Joseph commented on the family of plants, the sage that covers the land. "This entire field," he began, "as far as our eyes can see, works together as a single plant." The heat from his breath mixed with the icy morning air and formed brief clouds of steam that lingered in the air for a few seconds as he formed each word. "There are many bushes in this valley," he continued, "and every plant is joined to the others through a root system that's beyond our view. Though they're hidden from our eyes beneath the ground, however, the roots still exist. The entire field is one big family of sage. And as with any family," he explained, "the experience of one member is shared to some degree by all others." I listened to what Joseph was saying. What a beautiful metaphor for the way people are connected to one another in the world around us. We've been led to believe that we're separate from one another, separate from our world, and separate from everything that happens in the world. And in that belief, we often feel isolated. We feel alone, sometimes powerless to change the things that cause our own pain and suffering. The irony is that we also find ourselves inundated with self-help books and workshops that tell us how connected we are, how powerful our consciousness is, and how humankind is really a single precious family. So as I listened to Joseph, I couldn't help but think of the way the great poet Rumi described our condition in this world. Rumi said, "What strange beings we are, that sitting in what he calls hell, at the bottom of the dark, we're afraid of our own immortality." Precisely, I thought to myself, not only are the plants in this field connected, but they have a power together that's greater than any of them has alone. Any single plant in this valley, for example, influences the small area of earth that surrounds it. Put hundreds of thousands of those plants together, though, now you have a power to reckon with. Together, those plants can change the pH of the soil, for example, in a way that assures their survival. And by doing so, the very byproduct of their existence, their oxygen, becomes the essence of ours. As a unified family, these plants can change their world. Well, we may actually have more in common with the sage plants in that New Mexico valley than you'd think. And just as they have power individually and collectively to change their world, so do we. A growing body of research suggests that we're more, much more than cosmic latecomers simply passing through this universe that was completed long ago. The experiments lead to conclusions that we're actually creating the universe as we go. We're adding to what already exists. In other words, we appear to be the very energy that is making the universe as it is today, as well as the beings that experience what we're creating. And that's because we are consciousness, and consciousness appears to be the same stuff that the universe is made from. Well, this is the very essence of quantum theory that troubled Einstein so much. Till the end of his life, he held fast to his belief that the universe exists independently of us. He responded to analogies of our ability to affect the world in the experiments that show that matter changes when we observe it. He called them spooky action at a distance. He said, "I like to think that the moon is there even if I'm not looking at it," using an example of how he wanted to believe that we are independent of the world around us. As mentioned before, while our precise role in creation is still not fully understood, experiments in the quantum realm clearly show that consciousness has a direct effect upon the most elementary particles of creation. It's the stuff we're made of, and we are the source of that consciousness. Perhaps Princeton University's John Wheeler, who was a colleague of Einstein, may have best summarized our newly understood role. Wheeler's studies led him to believe that we may live in a universe that actually is created by consciousness itself, a process that he calls a participatory universe. According to the participatory principle, Wheeler says, we could not even imagine a universe that did not somewhere and for some stretch of time contain observers. That's us. because he says the very building blocks of the universe are the acts of consciousness interacting with the universe. Wheeler offers the central point of quantum theory as the foundation for his statement, and that point is this, is that no phenomenon is really a phenomenon until it's observed. If the building materials of the universe are made from observation and participation, our observation, our participation, then what is the stuff that we're creating? To create anything, there must first be something there for us to create with, some malleable essence that's the equivalent of Play-Doh for the universe. So what are the universe, the world, and our bodies made of? How does it all fit together, and do we really have control of anything? Well, to answer this kind of question, we must move beyond the boundaries of our traditional sources of knowledge. We've got to move beyond science and religion and spirituality and marry all of them into a greater wisdom. This is where the divine matrix comes in. It's not that the matrix plays the role of a byproduct in the universe or is simply part of creation. The matrix is creation. It's both the material that composes everything as well as the container for everything it's created. So when I think of the matrix this way, I'm reminded of how University of California cosmologist Joel Premack described the instant that creation began. Rather than the Big Bang being an explosion that happened in one place in the way we typically expect explosions to happen, he suggests that the Big Bang did not occur somewhere in space, rather that it occupied all of space. The Big Bang was space, he says, bursting itself into a new kind of energy as that energy. So just the way the origin of the universe was space itself manifesting as energy, the matrix is reality itself, all possibilities, ever moving as the enduring essence that connects all things.